This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another random episode of the Doxcast. I, of course, am your co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with me, as always, is the improvisational, the riff maker himself, Mr. John Early. Richard John Early. I said Mr. John Early. John,
that's my dad.
Yeah. Mr. Richard John Early. I wish
he might have more luck with this episode than me.
How are you doing today, Rich?
I'm good, but we should roll a D20. We should put topics up and roll a D20.
That's a brilliant idea. We should absolutely do that for a future episode. Have random topic.
Yep.
Doxcasts. I like that.
Yeah.
Too bad we couldn't come up with that 4 hours ago or something so we could prepare.
Yeah. No, it's the end of a Monday. We normally try to get the podcast out on Monday morning. We just couldn't do it. We all had Super Bowl parties last night. I don't know if I didn't have a party, but I mean, a lot of people did, right? I got to sit in my new house on a couch and watch the game. That was wonderful. So.
Yeah. No, I went and hung out with some friends and had some beers and snacks and watched a football game. And it was definitely a football game.
So today we're just going to, we got a lot of things in the works on the Doxcast. After our interview last week with Donnie Cates, our goal is really becoming guests. We want guests. As you can see, we don't have any. Or as you can hear, we don't have any, depending on how you're listening.
However you're viewing, intaking this particular episode.
Yep.
No, we're taking it back to the basics today.
Yeah, just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
That's fine.
You and I.
Nice. We have some guests lined up. We have some really cool things coming up, and we're going to try to expand upon the starts we've made. I actually believe we're going to get Mike Martz, who is the current editor-in-chief and publisher of Aftershock Comics. Well, the cool thing about Mike Martz is he is a longtime industry vet. He was the editor for all the Batman comics back in the day. He's been the editor for the X-Men comics, and now he runs his own comic company. This is going to be a great guest, actually.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
It'll be a name most people aren't familiar with, but we're going to be able to talk the business of the industry and a lot of the history of it. So Aftershock is clearly our company that we support, since we've had David Pepos and Donnie Cates and now so I'm really excited about that one, actually. We've reached out to Donnie Cates' partner in crime, Jeff Shaw, the artist for Thanos and God Country. I'm really hopeful about that. I haven't heard back, but I would tend to believe that's a guest we're going to end up with here. So, and a couple other things. We do have Eric Burnham, who is the Ghostbusters writer currently at IDW. And I'm hoping that could lead to some cool stuff, like Transformers writers. Mm-hmm. And, IDW does a lot of property books. So,
right.
But that's a lot of cool possibilities. We probably, in the next week or so, we'll set up a recording with a couple of these people. And then also we'll get Tony Tilton on to talk Comic-Con coming up at the end of the month. But today, it is what it is today, Josh. We just we ended up in the middle of production hell, basically. So.
Well, that's one of the things that of course, not a big surprise, but scheduling is going to be a bit more of a thing with getting guests in. Because, the way it was, we were doing things before, it was a lot easier just to, we'd pick a topic and you and I or you and I and Brad and Darren, whoever, would do a little research, read a comic series, or we'd play a game or, something and come in and talk about it. And that's really cool and fun. But taking the time to get in touch with these creators and these people who are out there doing the things, creating the things that we are enjoying so much, is a really fantastic venture to be getting into, and so I'm excited to get there. But we kind of ended up with a dead week, as it were, while we're getting things lined up and getting people's schedules to work out so that we can actually get them and talk to them. So we just get to hang out together, just you and me here. It's a nice cozy setting. We've got the heater on.
And actually, that's So, I mean, we just had our 200th episode recently, so we're on, you know, 204 or something like that.
Sounds about right.
I mean, that's the thing, is we could have just skipped today. We could have not done an episode, and that would have been fine, I guess, except that, like, you know, like, one of the things about Paradox, like, we're going to celebrate 25 years of Paradox this year.
Right.
It's our 25th anniversary. And as I think about that, like, one of the things I can tell you is, like, open the damn door every day at 10 a.m. You know, if you're if you're going to and I mean, that's the 10 a.m. is metaphorical, you know, but it's like whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is you're striving to do, like, do it, you know, get it done. And there are going to be times where you're like, why am I doing this? You know, like, there were there were so many in the 1990s. I mean, there were days when I was desperately poor and I would make, like, you know, $350 would be my day's sales. And I would literally take that in my – I had a starter jacket. The zipper was broken. That's all I had for a winter coat. And I would walk, like, the five blocks over to U.S. Bank at 10 o'clock at night in minus whatever weather and drop that off to try to avoid my diamond check bouncing. I mean, that's – you know. But then the next morning, I was there at 10 a.m. I mean, the door was open. You know?
Right.
And so, like, our podcasting isn't equivalent to how bad those days were. But
because we don't make any money.
Because we don't make any money. That's true. You know, but that's a piece of advice that I mean, if you and when you do anything, that's the kind of preparation you need to be, or not preparation, but the kind of perseverance you need to be willing to give it. You know, I'd rather have an episode up this week, even if it's not the episode I want, than not have an episode up. And so here we are.
Yeah. No, that's something that I've come to learn as I've engaged in many creative projects and things over my years, is a couple of things. And one is, you do it. You got to keep doing it because, you know, if you get discouraged and you stop doing it, then you don't give it the chance to take off, and, you know, that consistency is really important. And the other thing I've learned is that nobody owes you anything just because you did it. And that's something that I find, you know, with some of the younger people that I know, and you know, they start doing something and then they complain. It's like, oh, I'm putting out these episodes on YouTube or whatever, and nobody's watching them, and it's all this. And it's like, you know what? It's okay. Everybody has the same 24 hours in their day. Just because you're creating content doesn't mean they suddenly have a half hour or whatever to watch you do what you're doing.
Yep.
So be thankful for the people who do support you. Don't get mad at the people who aren't supporting you.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things there, because, like, I totally agree with what you're saying about nobody owes you anything. I mean, look, I'm going into my 25th year of business. Guess what? Tomorrow doesn't matter. If I go in tomorrow and I treat someone like crap, that's that. You know, like, I didn't earn that person's respect the day before. I didn't earn it the day after. It's like, oh, at that moment, that guy doesn't owe me anything in that relationship. I haven't earned any will to do a bad job that day. You know, like, they can go to another store. They can go to Amazon. They can do any number of things. And so, like, with a podcast, it's, yeah, they can. I think there are a couple podcasts on the internet now.
I've heard that, you know, a couple of people have caught on to this thing. And,
It's really, I think it's going to take off, dude. I mean, I really do. So
I believe in it. That's that's why we're doing this.
Yeah, but, I mean, so I think you're absolutely 100% right. I mean, we might get 30 people who listen to this podcast, and 10 of them will make it to the end because they're like, they're talking about, it's a Seinfeld episode. They're literally talking about nothing. You know?
Right.
Except that wasn't even true on Seinfeld, because they would, like, have a setup jokes at the beginning, the payoff, the end.
Right.
We have none of that.
No.
Like, if you're waiting for the end, there's no, so you want to be my latex
salesman
moment at the end of this episode.
No, we totally have something, a big payoff at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Just stick around, we promise. Don't skip ahead. Listen to the whole thing.
Also, you know, like, I've been reading a book about podcasting, and it's called Profitable Podcasting by Stephen Wozner.
Okay.
There's just a couple books about podcasting.
There's one for dummies, I hear.
Yeah. There's one for literally everyone in any situation. But I really liked this book. It's a very analytical approach from a guy who's built a really successful podcast. And it's the process of podcast from conception of the podcast all the way through to everything that needs to be done. Intros, outros. One of the things that it does a very good job of, and this is one reason that guests got delayed a little bit this week, is that you should create a set of questions that's pretty universal every episode that you've got. And you should get them to your guests ahead of time also, which I think is an awesome idea.
Yeah. Right?
So that's something I have put a little time and effort into. But what it also does, and this is the tough part, Josh, we've talked a lot about this, and we've talked a little bit about on the air, the focus of our podcast.
Right.
Are we trying to be a comic podcast, a magic podcast, a board game podcast? We try to do all of that because we're Paradox. And we're nerds, yeah. And we're Paradox people, you know? So that's sort of like, and in the process of it, one of the really cool things it has you do is it makes you create an avatar of who you want, who your target listener is. Hmm. And with that avatar, then it's like, what type of person is this podcast for? And then there's a set of questions that you get to ask the avatar. And through the refinement process, then that's how you sort of figure out, like, well, these are the types of guests that I would get, or these are the things that I would talk about. You know, it's really cool. It's a great idea. So
yeah,
it's got me like thinking a lot about what our focus should be. And I mean, I was thinking recently, like, it's like I said, I made a Facebook post last week with the Donnie Cates one, and I basically said we're just a bunch of nerds who think it's cool to get to talk to people. I think that's a podcast. Like, I mean, I really do just think that in and of itself is probably a podcast.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Because, like you said, it's the identity of the DoxCast. You know, is it strictly for store promotion? Are we, you know, just talking about Paradox itself? Are we talking about the things we care about, that sort of thing? But I mean, That's the reason people go to conventions. One of the reasons is to meet some of these people, these creators, these people that they know and are interested in and want to learn about their fandoms and the business behind the fandoms and all that. And so we're just taking that idea and basically, you know, using that as our podcast. 'Cause, you know, I don't mean to sound any bit conceited, but I think that we're fairly decent people in terms of,
morally,
not morally, no, okay. No. In terms of knowing the business, knowing the properties and things like that, and having insightful questions to ask. And so tuning into us interviewing someone, I think will have value to people. Like we will ask questions that they will be interested in hearing the answers to, if I may say that. And hopefully the Donnie Cates episode and even Sarah Erickson from Renegade, hopefully those episodes provided that and are a good indication of what's to come.
Well, yeah, and I should have said that too. Like with Sarah, like I've reached out to her, and I don't know if you followed up, but we're trying to get the creator of Clank on a podcast as well. Like, we love you. Come on our show, you know. but the way you do that, like, you're not going to go get Frank Miller in your first episode. You know, you're going
right.
to like unless I mean, I guess if you're his mother. You know, maybe, but, you know.
Well, you never know. You can always ask. It's
But
I wouldn't count on it.
Right. And so you're going to have to build a reputation and things like that. I mean, I've even thought of, like, maybe there's two different podcasts. Maybe there's one whose goal is to be, like, a weekly, here's what's happening at Paradox this week, you know. And it just goes around to you to, you know, comics, magic, board games, whatever, and touches on all of them in a 15 or 20-minute segment or something, right? And then there's this interview podcast that just simply should get relaunched as something new, and it still needs, like, even then it needs a little bit of an idea, like what are nerds interviewing nerds. Like, one thing I thought of is, like, we're all in some capacity, most of the people I know, nerddom is part of their life, more than just like half an hour of Big Bang Theory once a week, right? Like,
right.
either they've managed to have it involved in their career in some way, or they've got a unique hobby, or they've got, you know, there's something about most of us, and I'm with the active nerd community because I'm at the shop, so of course the people who come here are active nerds. I don't know, but, you know, and so
as opposed to the inactive nerds,
so, yeah.
I know a few of those.
So a show that I was thinking about was, you know, sort of like Nerd Life, right? Like the focus would be like, and it could be one of the things about nerddom that I think has been great, and one of the reasons I think it's come to the level that it has is because what being a nerd is about is the fact that it's okay to be you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the essence. I don't care if you're a X-Men fan, or a Clank player, or an Arkham Horror LCG player, or, you know, like Aaron Sparks who goes to every movie ever made by humans.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
But all of that is nerds, right? And it's okay to express that and to be whoever you want to be. And I think nerddom has tied right into the entire cultural movement in that direction right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned conventions previously, and you see that a lot at conventions, you know, which is the prototypical gathering of nerds. You know, there's obviously the local game store, and then on a slightly more eventful level, I guess, you know, that you have the convention. And that's where you see a lot of people going specifically to be themselves out in public.
Yep.
And the fact that that is growing in terms of, I know we've seen some great growth at the local conventions here, and then we've seen also some growth, great growth here at the store of people coming into that and discovering new things because people are now able to kind of be themselves out in public. You know, I know at work, at my old job at least, a few times I would bring in a game, you know, and we'd play over lunch, just a quick game. And so people see that and they're like, well, what are you playing? And then it's like, oh, here's this. And they go, oh, there's all this whole other world. Interesting. And then they get introduced to it. And then they come down to the store and they find even more of it. And, you know, it's a very interesting thing how that is becoming, like you said, you know, nerddom. And we've talked about this a few times on the podcast about how it's becoming popular and it's stretching out. And like you said, not just people who watch Big Bang Theory calling themselves nerds. It's people who are actually getting into that nerddom and that fandom and finding I don't know if comfort's necessarily the right word, but certainly the sense of community that a lot of people are really aching for. And that's fantastic. And so to be able to be a part of that on a daily basis here, because really that's what the local store. I was thinking about this a little bit on my way over here this evening, thinking about, you know, what we're going to podcast and stuff like that. And I just kind of got to thinking about how the business of Paradox, the business that you're in here, Rich, is so much different than like every other business. Maybe like a record store, local record store could compare. But it's not just having things to sell to people. It's having a hub for that community to meet in and grow and survive. I just think that's very interesting.
It is, and you're right. It's a totally different. I had an opportunity to I've got a couple of new projects in mind, and so I've been talking to some prospective employees, I guess is fair. I mean, I'm trying not to put it in a way like there's no now hiring sign up on the wall. That's right. The point or whatever. But you know, like we've been talking about how, you know, if you come to work here, it's not the same structure as anywhere else you're going to have ever been, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot of stuff about leadership. I read a lot of stuff about how to structure your business. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that I read on that topic. But ultimately, for me, like, we sort of run the shop interior the way it is as a community and a hub as well. You know, it's like it's lots of people who just have a great mutual respect for each other, for the shop, and want to be here. You know, to be creative and have fun. So,
yeah, yeah, and it's. You know, it's interesting because the internet, of course, is a big part of that communication and such. And I don't know, it just seems like that is a big part of it, too. And people finding each other there and learning that places like this exist. And I don't know, there's a whole lot of avenues we could go down with that. But
yeah, yeah. Well, that's the second part of what I was thinking, too, is that it's I think one of the challenges that we face that we let's say in the for me, you know, when the shop was around in the 90s or early 2000s and things like that, there was a point where, I mean, it was different than now. I mean, one of the examples I often make is, and I think I've made it on here, so apologies for the repeat, but when the first 5 years we were open, kids came down at 3:30 in the afternoon to play Magic after school, and we had to kick them out at 9 o'clock. You know,
yeah.
we made no money back then. We were just this little clubhouse where people came and played cards. You know, but the thing is, like, this was their second home or their third home, whatever that theory term
right.
is, right? But
right.
And you don't see that anymore either. But but. We're in a weird place now because everything that we provided like that is now provided online for you, know, or there's five shops doing the same thing, or there's whatever. And I mean, that goes back to the earning it thing. Like, so what that I did it for 25 years, like,
right.
God bless everybody new who's doing it now. You know, like, if I don't earn or build that community for a 16-year-old today, the 25 years before, they didn't care. You know, what difference does that make to him at all, right?
So, yeah.
That was kind of a ramble, but I mean, the point is, it's harder for us. It's become easier for people individually to find their identity thanks to technology and the internet and all these things than ever before. There is a niche for you, no matter what you like. You can like the weirdest thing in the world, and there's a YouTube channel for it. You know, and that and before, all you had when I was a kid, you had CBS, ABC, and NBC, and PBS. Right? Mm-hmm. There. If you didn't like Happy Days, tough. Like, you know, like, that was your you were pretty much done unless Lawrence Welk was your thing. Then alternatively, like, you know, so that was. But now it doesn't matter. It doesn't, you know, like, but as a shop owner, it's the opposite, where we now have to try to figure that all out for you, or like anticipate the thing. And we don't sell 200 copies of the new issue of X-Men anymore, you know, but we're trying to sell five copies of 50 different comics, you know. So my math is horrible. It should have been 40, but it's a heck of a challenge, and especially when there's so many other forces out there that never used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to tie this all back into the podcasting conversation, you know, we've kind of been revolving around, you know, that's where the DoxCast kind of comes in to hopefully engage and reach more of that community, because we need to have a good online presence, and we've been trying to build that in various ways. Obviously, we have when there are like X-Wing regionals is coming up here, and there have been other various tournaments, Dragon Ball Z and Magic, and streaming the live matches and things there. I've got a group that tries to play regularly, but real life makes that difficult, to play board games roughly every other Thursday night, and we're playing again this coming Thursday, the 8th, if anybody's listening and wants to tune in. We'll be here at 7 p.m. on our Twitch channel and Facebook Live as well. But trying to reach out. I mean, it's such a valuable part of that community now, because that's where a lot of people go. Like you said, you can go online, you can find your group, you can find your people, and we want Paradox to be your people. You know, we want people to come into the shop, absolutely, and hopefully by reaching out on the internet a bit and bringing people in through podcasts and streams and things, we can also bring them into the store to meet them personally and, you know, provide their nerdy needs through that. And so,
yeah, well, right. And now, you know, and in terms of the challenge, like, challenge is absolutely what it is, but in the most positive of ways, because, you know, we were talking about Kickstarter in a recent episode, right?
Yeah.
Previously, you couldn't get your game to market unless you got some big game publisher to publish it. That's the era we live in now, and that is, and it's amazing. And that's this, you know, if I can come up with a crackpot idea there's going to be an avenue for me to benefit from it, you know, or for it to be fun for everybody or whatever, you know. And the same with comics, you know, like Moon Girl. If you find Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, or you find Squirrel Girl, or you find Amulet or something like that, if you find that all at Barnes & Noble, you know, Barnes & Noble's great. They have a ton of stuff. But you're going to want to come here ultimately because we have a lot more stuff and we're the experts in it, you know. And so you're going to get it's just going to be a way for you to expand what you've already found. So, like, those outlets and the fact that that's now mainstream, oh, my God. You know, like, before, it would have been like, no, really, there's this comic called The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, and your 13-year-old daughter would love it, you know. But no one cared, right? But now that they have the legitimacy of being on that shelf at BNN or finding a free digital copy of an issue or whatever it is, you know, like, wow, like that's an incredible day to be alive in and be, you know, retailing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or podcasting or, you know.
Or, yeah, all those things.
Yep.
But, yeah. So that was a good start to a podcast that we had no idea what we were going to talk about.
Yeah. Well, like one of the things I mentioned way earlier was like the Super Bowl. So you went to the Super Bowl party, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
So let's do what we do and be nerds. Like,
okay. Yeah.
The thing, you know, like, I don't know. Do you know, like my future stepdaughter was sitting around watching the game and I said, okay, so I'm interested in the football parts and you're interested in the commercial parts. And she's like, yeah, you know, but you know, trick was I was also interested in the commercial parts, you know, as well. So like, you know, the one that surprised me the most, and everybody's already talked about it a billion times today, but like they said the Solo trailer was going to premiere on Good Morning America. So there was nobody thought that the Solo trailer was going to, you know, the teaser was even going to be on the Super Bowl. And it was an early ad, you know, like within the first quarter, I remember for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, it came on pretty quickly.
Did that excite you? Have you seen the full trailer now?
I've seen them both now, yes. I have to say, I didn't think the teaser was very good.
Yeah, it was weird.
I watched it and just kind of went, Now, to be honest, though, full disclosure, when they announced they were making this Solo film, I was not particularly interested. I love Star Wars. We've had very passionate discussions about Star Wars right on this podcast. I mean, one of the reasons that nobody liked the prequels is because they try to go in and explain how everything happened, and it's like, now we know how the Force works, and here's why 3PO got built and all this stuff, and we're like, we don't care. We just want to see cool stuff. And now they're going and making a movie about Han Solo and, like, here's how he got to be the wisecracking scoundrel he is. It's like, I don't care. I just want to see – if I'm going to see Han, I just want to see Han. And after seeing the teaser, I was like, this – I don't know what this movie is and I kind of don't care. And then I saw the full trailer and it's all about him – being ambitious about being a pilot, I guess, and I kind of don't care. There's like one part in the trailer where he kind of cracks his, you know, his charismatic, charming smirk and says something, you know,
it's a line off-putting. About like, oh, I told you it was all going to work out, you know,
yeah,
whatever. So
and I just don't care.
One of the weirdest. Well, I think they're fighting a little bit of a battle with that, and that could be. I don't know why the trailer took so long to come out. I know I read one thing that was just basically they wanted to make sure that Last Jedi like got its theatrical run without like, and I mean, that probably is just the business reason why or whatever. But here's one thing I thought was bizarre about the trailer: not one line of dialogue for Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, and
that is just weird.
It's just a bunch of like kind of sinister looks from him, like, hey, Han, I'm gonna shoot you in the back, you know, just like.
And I guess I get that. And they were kind of going for he's kind of like cool and suave or something.
Yeah, but, I'm sure. But you know, you could have given him a cool, suave line to get that across instead of like flashing to him amongst all these other characters that look really seedy.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it. He's a scoundrel like Han is, and they're kind of seedy characters. But it had a weird – I want to say it had like a darker feeling to it from the trailer than I would have expected.
You know, we had a conversation a little while ago about how – there's going to come a point sooner rather than later where Star Wars movies aren't special anymore.
Yeah.
And I predicted, too, that there would be – and believe me, I'm not saying this with this one, but like that there will be Star Wars movies you don't go to in the theater. It's going to happen, you know, just because of life partially or whatever. But that – I already feel like that. I feel like and some of these might be awesome. The individual creators and people, they're going to be really good ones, you know. God bless him for Last Jedi for letting Rian Johnson's vision guide the entire movie. Like that blows me away. But that's one of my favorite things about The Last Jedi, a movie I'm not a big fan of, but I respect the crap out of that. You know.
Yeah.
Now you get Ron Howard trying to apparently fix whatever they didn't like about this movie, and I mean it's just got. So some of them are going to be awesome, but a lot of them are going to be, I know this movie. For a movie to be great in Hollywood, there's an interview with Mark Hamill from before Last Jedi when he's very grumpy about Luke and stuff, and he says, make no mistake. They make, every decision they make is about making money, and that's probably true, but I'm going to say it like this, I want a movie to be 51% about making the movie and 49% about the money that the movie makes.
Yeah.
And this one really feels like it's 51% about the movie the money is going to make and 49% whether it's going to be good. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't know. And I think part of the problem is because they had so many issues with the script and the previous directors and so it's it already feels like it's going to be very disjointed, and that's unfortunate going into it with that perception because Ron Howard might have fixed it. You know, he might have gotten in there, done a bunch of reshoots, and actually made a cohesive movie. And when I go see it, maybe, because I probably will. It's opening the same weekend as CoreCon, so there's a good chance there's going to be a group of people going, and I'll probably grab my tickets or something and go because it'll be fun to go see it with a group of nerds like that. I don't know. It just,
I'm probably good to wait till Tuesday of that week, and just get my, I mean, really, oh, like, yeah, I agree. I mean, like, I don't know if somebody gets me a Thursday night ticket, sure. You know, of course I'll go, but if I've got to do it, we'll see, like if I see the tickets are on sale, blah, blah. But like, my point is like, even for Last Jedi, like I knew when they were going on sale, I hovered over my app, like all that stuff.
Right? Yeah.
But this one, it's like, yeah, I'll see it.
Well, and so they're making these movies that this is what the books used to be for, like the extended universe. And that felt better to me, like having the movies there and then having this other stuff that you could reach out and find if you wanted to. And having them make it into a movie, it kind of makes me feel like I should see it or I'm a bad Star Wars fan. And so I'm kind of resisting because of that. It's just like I'm really not interested because they announced that and they announced like a Boba Fett movie, right?
I think I way know, back maybe in the day. An I don't Obi-Wan know going, movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've read a Jabba the Hutt movie.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you watched every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars?
I have not.
Have you watched every episode of Star Wars Rebels?
No, I haven't.
So look at that. There's already a bunch of Star Wars out there that you haven't seen.
It's true, yeah. So I'm already a terrible fan, is what you're saying. I get it.
No, and I mean some of it is there's also a component of age, like for me I'm older. Star Wars New Hope is like the greatest single thing in my life. It was my favorite experience of all time.
Hope Jen's
just,
not listening.
Just because I don't like Rogue One doesn't make me a bad Star Wars fan or whatever.
Right.
And like I sure, when I was 16, if I'd have gone to see Rogue One, I'd have loved every second of it. I'm sure. So a lot of it is that. A lot of it is age and experience and things like that. And we all get to those points. I was talking to my rep from Asmodee today who were talking about Star Wars Legion, the upcoming miniatures game.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I'm very skeptical about that game for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
And not because it's Star Wars, but the thing about the Star Wars part that I'm skeptical about, it's like the fifth miniatures game
yeah.
for Star Wars. And I know this one is different. I mean, I know this is like the mm-hmm. the Warhammer of Star
right.
Wars games. So
right.
it's not the same niche as Imperial Assault or Armada or X-Wing. I totally understand. But Imperial Assault, Armada, and X-Wing all exist. Mm-hmm. And another thing about those other three games is we've seen their life cycles. Like, we've seen
yeah.
them, they come out, people are excited. 3 months later, nobody cares. You know, I mean, or it's down to just the small hardcore group of people who care, you know. Also, Warhammer's huge right now, and that might work. It might get people to try
sure.
it, or people are spending all their money in Warhammer, so why are they going to spend their money
yeah.
in Star Wars?
No, if I may go off for a second
oh, yeah,
on
no,
this, this short tangent here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like the big CCG boom of the 90s, where Magic was popular, and then suddenly everything needed to be a collectible card game, and a ton of them just failed because nobody has enough money to be into more than one collectible card game,
right?
And actually play it.
Yep.
And so that's the thing that's really bugged me about, like, Fantasy Flight. I think they have made some fantastic games. Like, each of these Star Wars games, and I haven't played them all, so I can't really say for sure, but I've looked into them, and it seems like they're doing a very good job. Like, X-Wing, I don't really enjoy playing it, but I think it's a phenomenally done game. I love that it's just, there's no board, you just have your ships and stuff, and you play on a surface, and there you go. And it seems like it's really smart. And then, Rebellion, Star Wars Rebellion, really well done game. Not my thing. It's just, I don't find it that fun to play. It's not my thing. And they keep on making all these Star Wars games that are not the types of games I want to play.
Yep.
I'm just like, come on, stop making games that have wave after wave after wave of ships and soldiers and things like that, or, you know, giant sprawling 4-hour, 5-hour games that I'll never have time to play. Can't you just make, like, a good Star Wars game that I can buy and play that appeals to me as a gamer? And I know that's incredibly selfish, but it's just they haven't hit the mark for me, and that bugs me because I would love to have a good Star Wars game on my shelf, and they just won't make them. They're like, we have our player base split between X-Wing, Imperial Assault, and Armada. Let's throw another game in there that requires you to buy miniatures and make armies and put together your squad and play against other players who have done the same thing. And it's just like, come on, man.
Yeah, and the one that's doing the best for us right now is Destiny, and it's a card game, not a miniatures game.
Right.
But it's still yet just another Star Wars game.
And it's,
so,
and it's a collectible thing.
Yep.
So it's in my opinion, a worse model because you have to buy all the packs. I love buying packs, by the way. I love opening them, you know, for things like that and Dice Masters and stuff like that. But actually playing the game, you know, after a certain point, to me, collectible card games become more about who has the money to buy the decks that are winning. And I know that's a broad generalization, and I'd have like 15 people who play Magic here every Friday night just screaming at me that that's not the case. But, you know, for me, that's my perspective now after years of all that.
Well, yeah, we don't want to go off into that podcast. But no, there,
no,
I mean,
save
but
that for another time.
No, but there's an element of that for sure, you know, because usually the cards that are worth, I mean, usually a card price is driven by the playability and the availability of the card.
Right.
So the more playable it is and the less available it is, the price goes up. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's that simple, right? And so you're right. Like, there have been times where you needed to have $800 to play the best deck in the format or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
There are ways to beat those decks, but that was often, you know, that was often the case. And, but even given that, I think it's ultimately about the players more than it is that.
Yeah.
Like, if you have to equalize that difference, I get that, right? But like, if you've done that, it was still always true that a certain group of players tended to drift towards the top, which means that like there is a skill involved.
Oh,
that is more than just that. But you're not. I mean,
yeah,
I'm certainly not saying your comment is inaccurate. So
But I won't say anything more because we could go on for a long time about that.
Well,
all I was
going to say is, you know, my rep was really excited because he's still just in a very gung ho. I love Star Wars play. So like, and I totally understand that. You know, like that's what I was saying about but like I get that I'm a little older and I have a lot of things going on in my life. And I mean, I love Star Wars. I had an Empire Strikes Back T-shirt for Christmas. It's you know, it's and I've spent 20 minutes on a podcast talking about it. So don't think for 1 second, you know, that I don't love Star Wars. But yeah, it just, you know, his sort of magical sense of looking forward to the game, you know, versus my retailer, like looking at the marketplace for the game was just a really interesting thing. And I thought, like, well, that'd be great. Like, if this game is awesome and there's a bunch of people like him and it really makes them happy, fan-frickin-tastic, you know? I don't know. I mean, I will remain skeptical. I also, like, I'm not a miniatures person. We should do that. We should get JD on and we should get some of my miniatures guys on. You know, it was just never my passion. And it's a great hobby. And there are terrific people who do it and terrific games. It was just never mine, you know. So that kind of holds me back, too. Just like, eh. So.
Yeah.
I don't want to paint something. So.
Yeah, I know. Part of me wants to, but I also know that I don't have the time or the patience right now to make it look good.
Maybe someday.
You know, I did just get I picked up Stuffed Fables off the shelf.
Yep.
And the miniatures in that are plastic instead of pewter or, you know, some of the other materials. So I guess, like, acrylic paints work really well with those. And, of course, having children who are artistic in various ways. I have a bunch of acrylic paints, so I think I might actually try and paint those.
Yeah, I'm headed home with a copy of that tonight myself. We're going to play King of Tokyo. We're going to have dinner, play King of Tokyo, and then we're going to bust that out and see if we can figure it out.
I am so excited for that because my son will play games with me like any day of the week. He loves it. He's also a big math nerd. One of my great proud parenting moments was when he was 5 years old. He legitimately beat me at a game of Robo Rally on one of the most complex maps, and we won by I moved onto the flag, and then he moved after me and pushed me off and won on the final flag there. It was amazing. It was fantastic. But my daughter doesn't really enjoy the board gaming as much. You know, there's a few games she'll play and a few that she likes. You know, but it's like Cat Tower or something like that. And so I'm always on the lookout for something that she might actually get into because I want to, you know, have board game, family board gaming, but I don't want it to always be, you know, the regular party games, the Scrabbles and, you know, stuff like that. And so I saw that and I did a little research on it and then I picked it up and I brought it home and she saw the cover and she is so excited to play it. It's like everything that she loves. It's stuffed animals and nightmares and, you know, good versus evil stuff. And so I hope that when we play it, she enjoys it because that's, I mean, it's just, it's perfect. It's exactly the sort of thing that she'd like. And she's smart. She'll be able to handle the, you know, the mechanics and stuff, no problem. It's just a matter of getting that theme that she enjoys enough to get her into the game. And so, yeah.
Well, we got to wrap up, but
oh, we do, yes.
You know, you said good versus evil, and it's interesting because I've been doing a lot of studying of things right now for myself for my own time and
deciding whether to be good or evil.
No, not at all.
That actually. Decision was made a long time ago. You're right.
Yeah, nice. Not at all, actually. Like I've been mostly reading a philosophy that's actually all about like. Breaking down these ideas of good, bad, right, wrong, and deserve, punish that our society is so based on. But, I mean, and of course, that's what a game, you know, often is going to be, or Star Wars or whatever. So, I've been thinking about that a lot lately, about how, like, with Star Wars, like, it's Luke versus Vader. You know, it's the light side and the dark side. And there's all these dualities. I don't know. It's interesting. And so this philosophy I've really kind of been studying is so different, just because it's not about any of that. It's all about empathy and compassion and how, like, humans all share the same needs, even if, you know, even if we don't agree with them. And it's just, it's really interesting. So
nice.
But, you know, yeah, sometimes though, I guess you just want to stab a teddy bear and,
or be the teddy bear that stabs the nightmare.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, anyway. we pretty much killed an episode.
Yeah, no, that went by really quickly, actually. I'm kind of disappointed that we have to wrap up because I'm enjoying, you know, as much as I have enjoyed the interviews and getting into the topics and stuff, sometimes this natural, easy flow of conversation is nice to have, too.
You got a peaceful, easy feeling.
Okay, now I'm feel a little odd. after that comment.
It's been a long day. Do you hate the Eagles? Can we do our Big Lebowski review episode sometime? I mean, it's been 20 plus years, but like we've never done review. One, right?
So, yeah. Yeah, sure. I've seen that a good 20 or 30 times. So,
yeah. So next week, the DoxCast reviews the Big Lebowski.
That'd be a fun feature. Just pick something that's been around for, you know,
Red Letter
Media
is sort of doing that now.
Oh, yeah?
It's like the best of the worst. They like they find bad movies, but they try to find like good bad movies.
Sure.
And so like yeah, that's been. I don't really have time to watch them, but it looks really cool. So. All right, everybody. Josh, get us out of here.
All right. Well, thank you so much, folks, for tuning in. Those of you who are watching us live, and those, of course, who. Download the podcast and listen to it later. You can, of course, find all of our podcast episodes, or at least most of them, at ParadoxCNC.com or on iTunes. And if you have any suggestions or thoughts about the DoxCast, we'd love to hear them. Get in touch with us. All the contact information should be on ParadoxCNC.com. You can also find us on Facebook and at ParadoxCNC on Twitter as well. We would love to hear your feedback, and we'd love to hear your ideas for guests that we may be able to get. I mean, feel free to be realistic or as, reaching for the stars as you'd like. And we'll see what we can do. But apart from that, stay tuned to those places I just mentioned to find out when our next podcasting session will be. You can watch us live on twitch.tv/ParadoxCNC or on Facebook on the Paradox Comics and Cards page. And I think that's good for today.
Yeah,
so thanks again for tuning in, folks, and we will see you on the next DoxCast.
This was a DoxCast. Hope you think it rocks, cast. Oh, look at the clocks, cast. Until next time, geek on.